Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Patricia Calder. Each week, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. We're very pleased to have Patricia, or Pat, as she is more usually known to her friends, with us today. Born into a prolific family of eight authors, Patricia Calder started writing at age 11 in a Hilroy notebook, which she carried on field adventures. Always a lover of stories, she's taught literature, journalism, and creative writing in high schools, community colleges, and at York University. When she retired as head of the English department, she was the driving force behind her school newspaper and literary magazine. She studied fiction writing under Canadian authors Matt Cohen, Catherine Gauvier, Anne Simpson, and Christiane Conlin, among others. Since devoting herself full-time to writing, 10 of her short stories and creative nonfiction pieces have been published, and early in 2015, she released her novel, Roadblock. Since then, Pat has written and illustrated with her photographs an account of her visit to Sable Island, and that book is what we want to ask her about today. I know you planned this trip a long way ahead and look forward to it very much. What was it that drew you to Sable Island?
Well, the horses, of course. I'm a horse photographer in Northumberland County, and so when I heard that Adventure Canada was taking a trip to Sable Island and inviting people to come aboard, I grabbed at the chance.
That was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
It was 2014. It was 2014, actually. Yeah. In June of 2014 that we went.
Ah. Tell us a little about the topography of the island. Can you describe it for us, since our listeners can't see your lovely photographs? Are there trees there, or is it all grassland? What about water?
Well, this is a magnificent example of a mystery. It is a 34-kilometer-long sand island. It is about a kilometer and a half wide at its largest point in the middle, and there is a spit at each end that goes under the ocean, so it's a little bit longer than 34 kilometers. It's a crescent-shaped, and it is clinging to the edge of the continental shelf. So how did it get there? It was left by the Ice Age. The Ice Age deposited a terminal moraine right on the edge of the continental shelf. And it has been clinging there ever since, because you have two huge bodies of water that are pushing it from either side. So it's like two forces. Mm-hmm. And the winds and the storms and everything are changing the shape of the island all the time. But it's basically positioned where it is and has been. It's 300 kilometers off the coast of Nova Scotia, and it's sand. Two long dunes form spines on either side, and there's a dip in the middle where, would you believe it, there are freshwater lakes.
And well, it's kind of hard to believe it, but we'll do our best.
But the freshwater lens floats on top of the salt water. And sometimes during storms, the wind blows sand and snow and whatnot into the lakes and fills them in, and the horses dig them out. The horses dig for water the same way children dig for water at the edge of a beach. And the fresh water is on top of the salt waters. Mind you, their teeth are affected by the salt that's in everything. You know, it's in what they eat, it's in the water to a certain extent.
Yeah, so what is it they eat? Is it a marum grass thing or something?
Yes, they eat marum grass, but there's also a wonderful spread of pea vegetation.
Oh.
That is like our sweet peas.
Yeah.
And it's full of protein, mm-hmm. and it means their bellies are slightly swollen all the time from the gas. But they get lots of protein, and they also get it from the afterbirth of seals. There are over 400,000 seals on the island, and they birth every spring, and the afterbirth is full of protein. The horses eat that, and there are 400 to 500 horses at any one time, and the mares are constantly being impregnated, so some of the foals die every year, and some of the older horses die every year. So the population of the horses has maintained about the same. It's a little bit stronger now than it was in the past, but there's no danger that the horses will run out of food because nature just takes care of it.
Well, it's an ecosystem, is it?
Yes, very much so.
Yes. You've just said that there are 400 to 500 horses on the island.
Mm-hmm.
How many horses would the island support? Could they increase to 600 or no?
Well, the population goes up and down depending on the weather, the storms in the winter, and we don't really know. I assume nature will just take care of any, when the population is too great for the amount of food that's there, then some of them will die.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you said that there were 400,000 seals on the island.
Yes.
It sounds like, the middle of Toronto or something with seals. Tell us about the other animals that are found there and where do they find their food? Is it on the island or in the ocean?
Well, the seals, of course, go into the ocean for the fish. And they lie on the beaches. And as far as I know, that's about all they do. They go into the grassland for their birthing. But they basically just lie on the beaches. And so all my photographs show the horses and the seals lying on the beach.
Nice. So and do they make a carpet? That's an awful lot of seals.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's like, they're in herds, you know, so you go along the beach and there'll be a huge herd here of a couple of hundred, and then you go along and there'll be another herd over there. So they segregate themselves in families or something, the same way the horses do. The horses form families. There'll be one stallion who will have several mares and some yearlings and some foals. And then there'll be some families that are strictly bachelors. Mm. And they can't find a harem of mares yet. Either they're too young or they're not strong and powerful enough. But as soon as they are able to challenge another stallion, they will take over that stallion's family.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we have all this interesting interaction going on.
Yes, and are there other animals that are a large part of the system there or not?
No, there are no predators. There are lots and lots of birds. And there's one tiny little bird called the Ipswich Sparrow. Ipswich. And it flies up from the Caribbean to lay its eggs on Sable Island. And that's the only place it nests in the world, and it flies all the way from the Caribbean to do this. It's the most amazing thing.
Yes, it is the most amazing thing. Could you read us a bit from
absolutely. I'm going to read to you about the first day I arrived. Daydreams float in and out of my consciousness, images of quartz-colored sand, sparkling in white and rose-colored flecks, surf swooping along the shoreline in foaming waves, dunes swelling up from the ocean like mountains. After months of preparation, I am finally visiting Sable Island. I am one of a group of photographers, adventurers, writers, and scientists who has been granted a permit to visit Sable Island with Adventure Canada. Our ship, the Sea Adventurer, lays anchor offshore because there are no wharfs, and the sandbars surrounding the island are treacherous. Dressed in waterproof garb, we will go to and from the island by zodiac. We climb a valley between two dunes and finally glimpse my long-anticipated view of the fabled feral horses. In front of us, a family of three mares, two yearlings, or foals, and one stallion grazes on pea vegetation and marum grass. Not far away lurks an older male horse. While he grazes, he patiently inches closer and closer to the mares. Every once in a while, the young stallion who owns the family lets out a chilling challenge. Suddenly, he charges the old horse. The two of them rear into the dusty air. The young stallion shoves against the older one, biting his neck. Then he lands on all fours, turns his back, and walks away. The older horse rises again, attempting to strike with his hooves as he lets out a snorting yell. Then he comes down with a loud thud and paws the ground behind the young stallion. He wants to continue the battle, but the young stallion has already won and retreats to claim his family. He has defended his rights successfully. That is his job.
Thank you, Pat. We've been speaking with Pat Calder about her latest book, her account of a visit to Sable Island. And now we'll take a short break.